Production funding for Behind the Headlines is made possible in part by the WKNO Production Fund, the WKNO Endowment Fund, and by viewers like you. Thank you.
The economic impact of COVID on local tourism, entertainment, restaurants, and much more tonight on Behind the Headlines. I'm Eric Barnes with the Daily Memphian, and thanks for joining us as we continue to do the show remotely. We are joined tonight by Kevin Kane, President and CEO of Memphis Tourism. Kevin, thanks for joining us.
You're it.
Denny Riley is chair of the Downtown Memphis Commission, as well as owner of the downtown restaurant, The Majestic. Denny, thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
Along with Bill Dries, reporter with the Daily Memphian. Let me start, and Denny, you wear a couple hats today, and I'm going to start with you. You're also chair of Welcome Memphis, which is a nonprofit arm of the Memphis Tourism, and you can talk a little bit about that as well. But from whichever hat you want to wear, how bad has this last year been?
It's been awful. it has been, downtown has just been, you know, decimated. We have about five or six different revenue sources, and all but one of them, our residents, which is about 26,000 people, have been pretty much non-existent. We have, and the residents are usually our cream on the top. So it's been tough. It's been tough. You know, just a good example, our GM came to us with the December numbers a few months ago, and the whole month of December was $2,000 short of our best day in December last year.
Yeah. Right, right. And that is tourists, that is convention business, that is office workers, all of that.
Yeah, yeah. We can't discount all of the event-driven business that we get between Grizzly Games and the Orpheum and AutoZone Park and concerts. Missing those has really impacted all the downtown businesses.
From your, and we won't dwell entirely on the negative today, so those who just don't want to hear this, I do understand, but I do want to set up, and partly I think we're doing the show, and there is some light on the horizon. As the vaccine distribution ramps up and as we begin to look ahead, again, it's not tomorrow, it's not even necessarily next month, but we're looking ahead. And that's, I won't dwell on the negative, but one more question to you, Kevin, and I think we were talking about this before we started. One of the last shows we did in the studio some 40-something shows ago, we talked about how bad this could get and how, I think I remember you saying, you know what, a third of employment in the whole state of Tennessee, is it one way or another tourism or entertainment or related? We'll start with the negative. How bad has it been? I mean, what are the numbers you look at when you look at the next year, last year?
You know, it's been tough. I mean, it's been very tough on the state of Tennessee because the governor and the state administration realized just how much tax revenue that tourism and hospitality generates for the state. As a result of that, they did a $25 million CARES program in the fourth quarter of 2020. Directed towards tourism bureaus, us and Nashville getting the largest amount. We got $2.5 million that we had to spend by the end of the year and totally advertising to try to get people to come back into the state, in our case, to come back into Memphis and Shelby County. And we succeeded at that. We drove the meter. Hotel occupancies went up. Restaurant tabs got better. As Denny said, still a long way from where we were, especially in downtown. But, you know, I'm encouraged of what I'm seeing right now. And let me just say that Shelby County suffered as bad as we've suffered. We've suffered less than the national average. If you look at the National Restaurant Association numbers, I think it's about 17% of restaurants, one out of six or seven, have closed permanently. We're nowhere close to that in Shelby County. And hotels, occupancies across the country, we're exceeding the national average, and we've done quite well, mainly because we're dominated by limited service hotels, and limited service hotels did a little better than obviously your big full service meeting and convention hotels that are all over downtown Nashville and downtown Atlanta and other cities. We only have a handful of those in Shelby County. So while we suffered, we didn't suffer as bad as some other places did.
We'll switch. So I'll stay with you, Kevin. I mean, looking ahead now, again, with vaccine distribution, despite its many issues, which is a whole show unto itself, it is ramping up. It's ramping up nationally. It's ramping up locally. What will come back first? And I'll stay with you, Kevin. How long will it take to get back to the pre-pandemic levels in terms of tourists and spending? And just give us a sense of what you're looking at in the short, medium, and long term.
People will go to restaurants first. Leisure travel will follow that. So we'll see a strong uptick in leisure travel. Conventions and meetings and trade shows will probably be the laggard of the group. And we got this beautiful, brand new, newly renovated Renaissance Convention Center that just is on the finishing touches of the punch list. And we were going to have a very busy 2021. And heck, we've had everything canceled between now and September. And we may lose things for the rest of the year. We've had some sporting events in there over the last few weeks. And youth sports, it was volleyball, and then it was going to be gymnastics. Gymnastics had to be canceled because of water pressure issues. And so, you know, the conventions and meetings will be the last to come back. But you're going to see, you know, if you talk to the AEGs and the Live Nations and the people in Broadway that book shows, et cetera, they're all thinking fourth quarter, they're going to be rolling again. So our industry is pushing towards a slowly middle of the summer, things are getting better. Yeah. By September, we're hopefully rolling again.
And to you, Denny, and then I'll go to Bill, but to you, Denny, both from the restaurant as a microcosm of what's going on and what we're talking about, but also downtown. And we talk about, you know, office workers, and we talk about tourism as visitors, as Kevin did, but maybe focus on the restaurants downtown, and then the sense that you all have from Downtown Memphis Commission and that hat of when office workers will start coming back, and what's your short, medium, long-term, you know, vision of this?
Sure. You know, people are eager. As Kevin says, restaurants will fill up first. You know, we've all been cooped up in our house for a year. We're sick of our spouses. We want to get out and see people and, you know, bump into people.
Patrick does watch the show, Denny. I just want to say.
Oh, he's sick of me too. So. But people want to get out, and, you know, restaurants, you know, and people know how safe restaurants are too. I mean, we practice health and hygiene standards higher than most places outside of doctor's offices. So they feel safe. They feel comfortable in restaurants. So we're seeing an uptick in that. We're encouraged. We're reopening the Majestic Grill the first week in April. We're going to start with lunch and dinner, dinner and brunch on the weekends, and then move towards lunches as the offices come back. To talk about the offices, the Downtown Memphis Commission has been doing polls all along of residents inside downtown and outside, as well as, you know, regional people that come into Memphis to dine and for entertainment. And this, we just completed one a week and a half ago. And this was the first time that we have seen a major uptick in people stating that they're going to be comfortable coming to a restaurant, they're going to be comfortable coming to our museums, going to an indoor Grizzlies game or maybe a concert, definitely visiting our parks. So people are starting to come back. And in that also, they said they're more willing to come back to their offices, which I think is so important. You know, you look at somebody like Henry Turley Company, they have spent the whole year retrofitting their buildings with HEPA filters and hands-free devices. So I think people will start coming back with the big announcement just now from the Biden administration that they've got enough vaccines to get us all vaccinated by May. That is huge. I was hearing August, September dates for office workers returning. I am hoping that with that announcement, instead we'll be hearing May, June.
Yeah. Let's bring Bill in here.
Kevin, a deeper dive from the national figures that we've been swimming in. Obviously, Memphis is bordered by two other states. Is there a kind of race or competition among different localities, different areas to, in effect, get the lights all back on first in this?
Well, Bill, that's a great question. I mean, the state of Mississippi and Northern Mississippi, South Haven, et cetera, have already beat us to the punch. You know, they were late to impose strict sanctions, and they were followed Texas this week and being the second state or one of the first few states to really relax capacities and masking and so on and so forth. Whether you think that's a good thing or a bad thing is irrelevant. The reality of it is they're getting a lot of Shelby County dollars that are flowing down there for people to go out to eat, to go to a movie, to do various things that, you know, that may be a little more challenging in Memphis. You know, I went to a restaurant in East Memphis the other night, and there wasn't hardly anybody in the restaurant, but there was an hour and 30 minute wait, and there were empty tables everywhere. And, you know, when the health department last week made the announcement, we're lifting all capacity controls, but you have to social distance. We're still at 50 or 60%. You can't, if you social distance 6 feet in most of our restaurants, you have cut their seating by 50%. And then to say, well, we're going to open bars, but you have to be, you can sit, two people can sit together, but the next person has to be 6 feet away. I mean, you know, the size of bars around most establishments, that means you got three or four people maybe sitting at a bar if you're lucky. So it really didn't accomplish a whole lot. It sounded good. People got excited. But it really, nothing changes until social distancing gets relaxed. Because if you got to stay 6 feet apart, I mean, Liberty Bowl Stadium, 60,000 seats. When you're 6 feet apart, it turns it into a 12,000 seat arena. So, you know, just do the math from there with the Orpheum Theater, AutoZone Park, FedEx Forum, et cetera. Movie theaters, whatever, the social distancing, and hopefully that was going to be relaxed as more and more people get vaccinated and people feel safe. And I will tell you, people that get that first shot feel safe, and they get the second shot and they feel bulletproof, whether they are or they aren't. It is having a certainly it is having a psychological positive impact in getting people moving again.
Mm-hmm. So Denny, to take this to a business by business equation, the restaurants come back first, but are people going to come back if there are still some measure of social distancing standards in there? Are they waiting for it to open up unconditionally, do you think?
I don't think so. We are seeing, we're getting lots of inquiries, especially about, you know, when are you reopening the Majestic? People have been loving Kokoza or Pop-Up, but we are seeing a lot of even our older regulars are saying we're ready. We've gotten our two doses of our vaccine and we're ready to come out. And we're also hearing, you know, they're comfortable coming to a place like ours or a place like, you know, Tsunami or a place like, you know, Felicia's, where they know that we are practicing safe practices. You know, they're going to come to the local establishments first because they know we're doing the right thing. So we're hearing that they're not just going to go out for the sake of going out, but they want to patronize the restaurants to support us because they know it's been such a hard year. But they also feel comfortable with us. They know that we're going to be taking care of them, and mm-hmm. they need. We're taking care of our staff as well. So that's a big thing. And I think we'll see. My parents went out for the first time to dinner last weekend. I haven't heard such joy. mm-hmm. My mom was like, I had a martini. You know, mm-hmm. She's excited. Mm-hmm. So I think that I think people are just desperate, but they want to support local. They want to go places they're comfortable.
Kevin, when we talked at the outset of this on the show, we also talked about what was likely to happen with the tourism and hospitality workforce as a whole. And there was some thought that possibly you could see some shifts in that employment. You could see people leave the industry and not come back. Where do you think we are with that workforce at this point?
Very challenged. Great question. I'll look at the hotels first first because they employ a lot of people, as do restaurants. But I mean, hotels have lots of employees. Like Peabody, I think at one point had close to 600 employees. You know, when they're calling people back, they've moved on to other industries that in some cases may be paying higher wages or better benefits. So it's been a challenge. It's unbelievable. We got over 10 million unemployed people in America, but when you start trying to get people to come to work, it's not as easy as it sounds. I mean, you got to make a lot of phone calls to get people back. And so, I mean, we'll get there. I mean, this is a high employment industry. Restaurants and hotels especially are high employment, and it probably leads the state of Tennessee on unemployment rolls right now. It's probably still our industry, but we have lost some of those employees for good. They've gone to other industries, FedEx, Amazon. You just start naming different people that were hiring extensively during this pandemic. And, you know, some people have moved on to other industries. So we'll have to build that workforce back but we'll get them back. Hey, it's going to be the roaring 20s. People want to get out. They want to go. And when I go to restaurants, the ones that are open, they're blowing and going. And when I made the comment earlier about going to a restaurant where there was a lot of empty tables because of social distancing, but I also said they had an hour and a half wait because people wanted to go there and eat. So people want to go out and eat, and they want to start moving again. And hopefully we're only a few months away from getting back to some what we feel is kind of normalcy.
Denny, let me go put your Downtown Memphis Commission hat on, and I'll come back to Kevin on this question too. A lot of the downtown redevelopment and expansion over the last decade, two decades, there are a number of new hotels that have opened or are about to open just during this pandemic. I mean, big projects. A lot of it is various forms of tax incentives, including the TDZ, the Tourism Development Zone. Obviously, I mean, as we've talked about, tourism is way, way down. And that TDZ picks up a lot of different kind of sales tax. It's not, but how, from a Downtown Memphis Commission point of view, how concerned are you all about the financial state of these many, many millions, billions of dollars in projects that you all have helped facilitate through tax incentives and such?
We're positive. We are very positive. Obviously, we look at the numbers every day, hourly. The biggest challenge right now is just financing from the banks. They're cautious, but they're optimistic. I mean, we obviously speak with our partners all the time. And, all the projects are moving forward. For people that haven't been downtown in a while, when you come back downtown, your head's going to spin. You look at One Beale, the Hyatt Centric is just about completed. All their apartments are moving along. There's a lot of projects that are coming along. We have been so busy at the DMC. We have new projects rolling through all the time. The phones have not stopped. We are positive about it. The tax that probably has affected downtown most, and Kevin can talk to this, is the hotel tax, which, funds Memphis tourism. That's probably, he's probably seen that hit
right.
More. But we're positive. We're still moving forward. The phone's still ringing. Developers are still interested. I think when you look to us, you look at the history of pandemics in downtowns, and after crises like this, downtowns boom, and we're positive.
Kevin, let's talk about that. The hotel tax obviously is taking a huge hit. There's also, I mentioned the TDZ, the Tourism Development Zone downtown, which I think I'm right in saying does some of the funding of the convention center. Are you concerned? I mean, what kind of budget hit have you taken, and how long? I guess we've talked about this turning around, but it's going to take some time. Are you worried about a real financial crunch given this fall off in tax revenue?
Well, there has been a fall off in tax revenue. Our budget's down about 25%. We were able to make some of that up because we received some state federal care dollars. We were not allowed to participate, just like the Chamber of Commerce was not allowed to participate in the first round of PPP, 501c6s, which is our designation, not for-profit corporation. were excluded from the first round of PPP. We're in the second round of PPP, which will bring us some additional resources to us, hopefully, and we're excited about that. But as I said earlier, in Malaysia, well, I didn't say this earlier, in Malaysia, when they had SARS, they thought it would take 3 years for tourism, hospitality, restaurants to really get back to where they were pre-SARS. It took 3 months. So, you know, a year ago, people were saying, oh, we won't get back to 2019 levels until 2024, 2025. Those numbers are being adjusted drastically. And hopefully we're going to be generating that revenue to feed the TDZ, the hotel tax, and other mechanisms that help fuel downtown. As Denny said, downtown has gone through a major transformation. Construction was deemed an essential business, and it didn't stop. You got the Carlisle project, which is spectacular. You've got the Renaissance Convention Center, which is unbelievable. We've talked about that on previous shows. You got a number of hotels that have opened or are going to open. You got new restaurants that have opened during this time. So we're very excited about the future. And Memphis will be a destination because we serve so many different types of visitors that we will come back faster and stronger than most markets. It's going to be very competitive because everybody wants that tourism dollar. But we're going to succeed. Right. We're going to win.
Let's bring in Bill.
Denny, in the industry that you work in, I've been interested to see that obviously times are hard, but yet there's been no shortage of people announcing that they've got an idea for a restaurant and they're about to give it a try. How do you explain that?
Well, you kind of have to be a fool to be in the restaurant industry to start with. I'll start with that. But, you know, I think people eat out. You know, I think even if you look pre-pandemic, you know, we were hitting record numbers that, you know, we were personally and the industry was. And, you know, you have most households are dual incomes with both parents working. You need restaurants. People need to be able to eat out. People aren't, you know, cooking at home every night. So it's an essential business. And so the need is there. And, you know, there's Good Fortune Company is opening up in the old SOB space. You know, people are opening new restaurants. There's capital to be had, you know, and there are, while, you know, Kevin mentioned earlier that we haven't seen the shuttering of restaurants like some other cities have, but we have seen some. So there will be some spaces available and they'll be cheap. There will be some deals to be had.
And already renovated in some cases.
They will be turnkey businesses. You can kind of go in and just change up your concept and the paint color and off you go. So there's going to be some real opportunity for some new restaurants out there.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, how are tourists different in your view when this all comes back or when this starts to come back?
I think for the foreseeable future, they want to feel safe. And they want to go to destinations where they feel safe. I'll tell you, one of the reasons why we won as well as we performed this summer was because when a lot of the social protests around the country were doing a lot of damage, there was damage that was taking place in certain markets. We didn't have that here. We had very peaceful protest here. And Memphis never made any national news of, you know, burning buildings or whatever. So people felt very safe coming here this summer, and we feel that they're going to feel safe coming here in the future. We're a great drive market. We did a extensive amount of advertising in what we call the drive market, 600 mile radius of Memphis and Shelby County, and went beyond Atlanta, went beyond Houston, went beyond Chicago, and people came. They got in their cars and they drove here. So you know, the tourist is a little bit different from the local. But because they're really going to want to go, because they have choices. They have choices on where they want to go visit. They want to go to Memphis. They want to go to Nashville. They want to go to Little Rock, Jackson, Mississippi, Florida, whatever it might be. So, as I say, we're positioned for that. We do a lot of research, and our research is We geofence people that even look at Memphis. So we know what people are thinking and what their thoughts are about the potential visitor that's coming here. You know, before all this started, as Denny said, we were having record setting records in Memphis and Shelby County in this industry, and over close to 13 million tourists. And this past year, we were about 5.5 million. So cut it more than half, but we really feel strongly those people will come back.
Let me go to Denny here just with, I should know this before I ask you, but I don't, was DMC directly involved with the 100 North Main purchase, or was that purely through the city?
No, it's a partnership with the city.
It is.
Yes, it's a partnership with the city.
What are the extent, you know, there are other blighted buildings downtown. There are other buildings that people would like to redevelopment. Why this one? And why is this one that the city stepped in on and bought? And is this a beginning of a wave of the city and DMC buying blighted buildings to redevelop them?
To answer your last question first, I wouldn't see this as a trend. But 100 North Main is important for a lot of reasons. It's part of the Lowe's package. You know, the townhouse management owns 100 North Main. They were the original partners with Lowe's, and their partnership fell apart. Townhouse still owns that. They have been unwilling to either sell it or make plans for it. And our feeling at the DMC and Mayor Strickland's administration feel that this building is too important to let just sit empty as a blighted building. The beautiful Renaissance Convention Center that has just undergone this amazing renovation, it's right on the walk.
Right.
And it is just this giant eyesore. It's right next to the DMC offices. It is catty corner from City Hall. It is just on the main thoroughfare of all of visitors, and it's got to be renovated.
That is all the time we have this week. Remember, you can get past episodes of the show at WKNO.org, or you can search for Behind the Headlines on YouTube, or you can get the full podcast of the show on the Daily Memphian site, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.